The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, we got top-ranked boxing coming your way tomorrow night from Vegas. Miguel Burchell defending his WBC junior lightweight title against Oscar Valdez. 12-round main event. Main card starts 10 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. The prelims start at 7 on ESPN+. We welcome Torrey Smith to the program, a man who has lived his entire life in awe of Dominique Foxworth.
Let's go.
How about Deshaun comes over to Miami?
Oh, welcome to Miami.
I think that we're going to have a Gronk Deshaun Watson duo.
Jeff, tell him.
Rob, think of it. You are high.
Oh. He high.
If you're a center and the quarterback doesn't like you, does he go into shotgun or does he stay under center? But that's for...
He made a good joke and he just exited just like that. Let's just leave him up. Can we time this? I just want to see how long this goes. Oh, he moved. Well, you ruined it. This is life in 2021 on television. We saved the best for last.
I watch Get Up every morning.
Dan Dierdorf, we love you.
Some of your sidekicks are genuinely funny people.
Dominique is one of my favorite sidekicks.
What? You stop that right now. I'm nobody's Robin. Look at this face. This is a Batman face.
I am not here for any of this Robin slander.
If you respected him, you give him some pants. He's running around in green drawers all the time. I am a star. Yeah, I don't need you. Give me my own show. I'm done with this.
Once again, Robin is my favorite superhero. And Dominique, after that show that day, just texted me the following words. Greeny, get Robin some pants. Can't have that. Anyway, with that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We come to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, and we are jam-packed on a football Friday. It is time to get up with Carson Wentz. The day after the deal, is there any player in the sport under more pressure this year? We'll answer that question. Plus, our Steeler legend explains why we may be seeing the end of that legendary quarterback right before our eyes. That conversation you do not want to miss. And then Lewis Riddick identifies the one team that absolutely must do everything it can to get Deshaun Watson. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now with the enormous story from yesterday, the Eagles agreeing to trade quarterback Carson Wentz to the Colts for this year's third round pick and a conditional two next year that could turn into a one. Here's Adam Schefter with how the deal went down.
The Eagles were waiting to see if there was another team that was going to step in and make a better offer than the one the Colts had on the table. And ultimately, it never really happened. There was not a lot of interest in Carson Wentz around the league. Yeah, the Eagles did talk to the Bears. The Bears never made an offer. And so the Eagles were there, left to face the Colts and what they were offering.
It's just fascinating. And again, Ryan Clark, Dan Graziano, Rob Ninkovich with me this morning. And Graziano, my insider, every time I hear Shefty say that, no other teams showed really any interest. The Bears maybe stayed away from making an offer because they know that we've seen what what Carson looks like when he's disgruntled. You want him as gruntled as you can possibly get him. But what should we take away from this? That basically the whole league wasn't interested in Carson Wentz at all.
I mean, he's coming off a terrible season, right? Well, it was literally one of the worst performing starting quarterbacks in the league this year. He's owed $47 million over the next 2 years, of which $40.4 million is guaranteed. And you got to trade draft picks to get him. Look, if you want to compare it to the Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff trade, you have to put Wentz in the Goff role, not the Stafford role, right? Like the Rams traded an extra first round pick to the Lions in the Stafford trade just to be rid of the Goff contract. And the Eagles were in a situation where the most important thing for them to get out of this was to be rid of the Carson Wentz contract. And so you have to take what you can get, and this is what they could get.
So Ryan Clark, I have asked a lot of questions of you this morning, but I haven't asked this yet. And it just jumped into my head. Like, there was a time, and I feel like it wasn't that long ago, where we thought Carson Wentz could be a great quarterback, not good, could be a great quarterback. Now he goes back with the guy with whom he had his success. Will he be great?
No, I don't think he'll be great, but I think he can be good enough. I don't think Carson Wentz ever has to search for what he was in 2017. And I said this a little bit earlier when Dan was on. What he has to do is let the Indianapolis Colts, Frank Wright, the running game, the offensive line, the defense, let them elevate his lows, right? Let's not see those lows. Let's not play the hero ball. Let's not throw the ball to the other team, take bad sacks, do all of those things. And then every now and then in situational football moments, in critical moments, let's see some of that 2017 Carson Wentz. Let's see some of that late season 2019 Carson Wentz. And that wins football games for the Indianapolis Colts. The Indianapolis Colts have been looking for their luck to change. And this is their opportunity. Carson Wentz wanted to be there because he understood what he was surrounded with. That understanding has to turn into him playing within himself and saying, we are going to win this as a team. I feel like since Nick Foles got a statue, Carson Wentz has been trying to get his own. That's over. Now you're in Indianapolis. It's a new start, and you can win just playing your football, not the football you think you needed to play to make Philadelphia Eagles fans forget that Nick Foles was the guy that got you the ring.
I get it, but I just want to follow that up. I feel like you're saying, and this is a term that a lot of people think is a negative one, that he needs to be a game manager, that the Colts need him to come be a game manager. I don't, quarterbacks don't like being called that. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And listen, game manager is a good thing now. Baker Mayfield turned into a game manager. He became a better player. Carson Wentz turning into a game manager will make him a better player, because what you will get is there will be a Sunday or a Monday night or a Thursday night where Carson Wentz plays excellent, where Carson Wentz shows some of those things that had us thinking he was going to win the MVP before his ACL injury. You will get that. But what you won't get is the bottom. You won't get things to bottom out, and you look at the football field and say, number 11 can't play football. There were times last year we were watching the Philadelphia Eagles and we thought to ourselves, number 11 cannot play football. That can't happen anymore. And as a game manager, you won't have to try to do so much to where it does.
And so, Nico, as I come to you, you expressed earlier today, a lot of us are calling it now sort of Super Bowl or bust for the Colts in the near term. You're not that bullish on them at all this coming year. Why not?
Well, I just think that they're a team. As a team, they're not better with Carson Wentz. I think they were a better team with Rivers at the helm. And you bring in Wentz coming off a bad year, a down year. Frank Wright stood on the table and said, I want to go get this quarterback. I know what he can do. Well, he's going to be under the microscope for making that trade as well. If Wentz comes onto this team and they don't have success and they don't make the playoffs or they don't win that division, it's going to fall back on Frank Wright, and it's going to come down to his decision to go out there and get Carson Wentz. And I get it. Carson Wentz helped Frank Wright get his position. So Frank Wright feels, I can go get Carson Wentz, get him here on the Colts, get us back to where we need to be. And I just don't think they're a better team with Wentz. And there's other things here that need to be addressed as well with both rosters. I think we're in kind of a hyper quarterback mode right now of all talking about quarterbacks, but there's other positions of need too that need to be addressed.
Okay, that's fair. Graziano, let me come back to you though. As you talk to people around the league, there are two elements of this, it feels to me, with Wentz. One of them is his play. You talked about that. He just didn't play well. The other is just sort of the way he handled it. And it feels to me, and you talk to a lot more people than I do, it feels to me like there is like a lack of respect for the way he managed everything that went wrong last year. What do you hear from people around the sport when you ask them questions about Wentz?
Well, I think there's going to be some, he's going to have to sell himself a little bit to his new team because of the negative stuff they've heard. But, you know, to Rob's point, that's on Reich as well, right? If you're Frank Reich and you believe in this guy, part of your job is to sell the move in the locker room and to explain why. Now, the Colts believe, and I believe having been around them a little bit, that Reich can do that because, I mean, he really has that locker room. Like, if you've ever been to their facility, it's just littered with all the inspirational or introspective Frank Reich quotes that he throws around all the time. He picks one for every week and hammers that message home. And when you talk to players that week, they just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. So they're all in on Frank Reich in Indianapolis. And they have strong leaders in the locker room, like Darius Leonard, like Quentin Nelson. So if Reich can connect with those guys and deliver through those guys the message, hey, this is what's good about this guy. Forget what you've heard. I know him. and I know him back from before all the bad stuff happened, that's going to be a big part of this as well.
Go ahead, RC.
No, Dan made an excellent point about the leaders in that locker room. Darius Leonard put out a tweet, and it basically said, look, I don't care who you are. If you come to the Indianapolis Colts, you are coming here as one of the guys. You are a player. And if you're not dead set on making this team better above individuality, we don't want you here. And I think that tone has been set by who I believe is the leader on the team. And Carson Wentz has to go in there with humility. He has to understand that, you know what? I'm here because I didn't play well. I'm also here because I wanted out, because I handled it in a way that said, you know what? I'm not accepting my fate here in Philadelphia. Now it's time to make changes. Not only changes to my play, but changes on the way that I relate to my teammates. Changes on the ways that I affect the locker room. And here's his fresh start with a guy that's going to empower him, but also is going to support him and try to be the bridge between the new locker room and Carson Wentz. This is his chance. This has to happen immediately as far as him becoming a leader, but he has to play well also. And if those things happen, if Frank Reich is right, I don't agree with Finko. If Frank Reich is right about Carson Wentz, this team becomes a contender, because I felt like they were with Phillip Rivers last year.
And look, they were one drive away, maybe a couple of questionable decisions away from beating Buffalo in the first round of the playoffs this year. And so we will see. Now, go give me where it winds up. What the Colts this year with Carson Wentz as their quarterback, where does their season end?
I mean, look, they're not going to be the top five team in the AFC. You look back on last year. Yeah, they were close. But you think on what we saw with Wentz with the Eagles, we all were down on Wentz anyway last year. You saw his performance, the worst performance he's had of his career. So I don't get how when he goes to the Colts, now we automatically assume they're a Super Bowl team. It's just hard for me to fathom that his performance is going to increase that much to take them to a Super Bowl. So they're probably 6 or 7. They're behind the Titans still in my eyes.
Well, we will see. A little later in this program, I'm glad you phrased it that way. Ryan Clark is going to give us his top five teams. We will see if he puts the Colts among them. Meanwhile, we're just getting this hour rolling here. Coming up, another quarterback traded, but Deshaun Watson is still waiting. Could he get his second chance in the second city? We're headed there for the answer. Plus, questions facing Big Ben on his future. We will ask our Steeler legend what happens next in Pittsburgh. That's on the way. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up, and so here is the deal as we speak. Matthew Stafford has been traded. Jared Goff has been traded. Carson Wentz has been traded. Deshaun Watson has not yet. Where's he going? Yesterday on my radio show, I had Lewis Riddick naming one possible destination that he thinks makes all the sense in the world.
I really don't know where he's going to go. I'll tell you what, this is the team that comes to mind for me. In Chicago, you have a coach and a GM who know that this year it's make or break. It's do something good, do something spectacular, or we're probably out of here. If I'm them, I'm not necessarily worried about the next year or the long term. That's the team. If I'm going to go all in, that's the team that should go all in. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do.
Wouldn't be surprised if the Bears went all in. Well, we do have a good Chicago kid with us today, as always, Rob Ninkovich. So what do you think? As the Bears fan in you that you were once upon a time, what do you think?
Grinny, let me tell you something. I woke up this morning, I turned on Get Up. I heated up a hot piece of Giordano's deep dish pizza. And when I did that, I hear this talk about Deshaun Watson and the Bears. The Bears, since 1920, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my dad, and myself have been the ultimate super fans of the Bears. The Bears. And if you go get Deshaun Watson, I guarantee that they will be back-to-back-to-back-to-back Super Bowl champions. Get Dicka, get the cigars. We're having a parade. Dye the river orange. The Bears are going to the Super Bowl because we're going to have the best quarterback to ever play for the Bears.
Oh, oh, that's magnificent. That's just magnificent. That is a tour de force. Joliet,
and just
right?
to let you know, I just want to let you know. Yeah. Hold on 1 second, Greeny. Just to let you know, I just recovered from my fourth heart attack. I got my blood work back. It's a little ragu. It's a little deep dish. And it's a little beef. Jos, au jus, the beef au jus, and a little hot pepper. But it came back. I'm recovering well.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Magnificent. Magnificently well done. Candidly, we have 43 minutes left in the show. I just want you to do that. I think I just want 43 minutes of that. RC, how do we does it make sense to ask a serious football question, and that was magnificent. Does it make sense, should the Bears be willing to give up absolutely everything they can to get Deshaun?
Now, if you're the Bears as an organization, maybe you don't necessarily want to do that. But if you're Brian Pace, if you are Matt Nagy, hell yeah, you do. I love what Lou said. You know what Lou said? Lou said, if I'm the GM of the Bears right now, if I'm the head coach of the Bears right now, the next head coach be danged. I don't care about him. The rest of the years, I don't care about them either. I need to win now. I need to make a statement this year. And that statement is Deshaun Watson. That statement is saying, you know what? We believe we have a championship level defense. And we have for the last 2 or 3 years. And we wasted them because we didn't draft this dude in the first place. You know I like to talk about Quantum Leap. It was one of my favorite shows. And we know what Sam Beckett went back to the past to do. Sam Beckett would go back to the past to put right what once went wrong. That was in the lead. They have an opportunity to put right what they once did wrong, and that's getting Deshaun Watson. I would sell the farm for him. The ragu, the deep dish pasta, the four heart attacks, all of it would be worth it if they get Deshaun Watson this trip.
I love it. The deep dish is pizza, but we understand the point. I lived there for 11 years. Graziano, let me come to you on this. I know I have a question. Oh, yes, you guys are confusing me with all of this Chicago accent. Graziano.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me from the Bears standpoint. Does it make sense from the Texans standpoint? We're looking at teams like the Jets and the Dolphins, just to name two, who have all these extra draft picks that they could be trading away. Does the Bears as a trade partner make sense to you if you're Houston and you resign yourself to trading him away?
They would have to get a little more creative because you're right. They're not going to be able to compete with a team that can offer the number two pick, the number three pick, because they don't have that pick. But could you offer them a player or two that appeals to them, that, you know, that could help, you could help build around with some of the later draft picks if you can't use one to get the elite quarterback near the top of the draft? So look, if and when Houston decides to return people's calls on this, the message is going to be, give us what you got, give us your best offer, blow us away, because this is something that is never available, right? A 25-year-old quarterback in his prime, just coming off one of the great years we've seen from the quarterback position, which is what Deshaun Watson just had, if anybody really dug into the numbers. So, yeah, I think if you're the Bears, you'd have to get creative probably with a package that involves players. But I'm with Lewis. I believe they should and would.
All right, that was extraordinarily well done. Ninko, I can't begin to tell you how much we all enjoyed that. Meanwhile, we take a very short break.
Good.
Coming back with much more of Ninko's superfan accent and the Eagles. They move on from Carson Wentz, but we will explain why that does not guarantee that Jalen Hurts is the future in Philly. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, back on Get Up, and there's nothing we enjoy more than when Hambo goes head-to-head with Graziano. And here's today's question. Who was the last quarterback to start a season opener for the Steelers whose name was not Ben Roethlisberger? And Graziano's as good at this as it gets. Hambo is coming for him today. We will see if he gets it right after this. And also coming up, he is a Super Bowl champion. He's the face of the franchise. But even Big Ben can't beat Father Time. There's a reason we're talking about him, because it may be time to turn the page in Pittsburgh. That's next. Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's a good one as we continue on Get Up. That's Dan Graziano, and here's the question for him. We're going to talk about Ben Roethlisberger in a minute. Who was the last quarterback to start a season opener for the Steelers besides Ben? Dan.
When he was suspended the first, was it four games of the season? I believe the starter was Dennis Dixon, but I don't know if he's had a season opener since then that he's missed. So I'm going to guess Dennis Dixon's all I can
think. Oh, my God,
of.
That's right. I cannot believe you got that right. Dennis
so
Dixon
2010 was the last
is
time.
Right.
Yeah.
In 2010,
yeah.
When Roethlisberger.
They had Charlie Batch. They had Charlie Batch, but I think Batch was hurt. He started two of them. Dixon started the other two, I think.
RC, you played in that game, right?
Bro, I was wrong. That's what I'm telling you. I was wrong.
Did you say Charlie Batch?
I did.
That's hilarious. Ryan Clark played in the game we're talking about, and you got it wrong, and Graziano got it right.
Didn't know who the quarterback was.
Hey, Graziano's the man.
You are unbelievable. What can I say? You are the Babe Ruth of this stuff. Okay. Let's talk about Roethlisberger. He is the quarterback of the Steelers right now. That's the way the general manager, Kevin Colbert, said it in a news conference earlier this week. He was lukewarm, to say the least, in his assessment of the franchise quarterback's future with the organization. You need to hear it.
As we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He met with Art Rooney. He met with Coach Tomlin. He met with myself shortly after the season ended. He reiterated that to us, that he wants to continue to play. We told him, quite frankly, we have to look at this current situation. With Ben's current cap number, some adjustment will have to be made. And we anticipate that he could still do some good things moving forward. So hopefully there's a way that we can try to figure out and do what's best for the organization and do what's best for Ben.
All right, RC, I've been waiting all week long to get you on here, to get your reaction to that. You're a longtime Steeler, you played with Ben. What did you hear when you heard Kevin Colbert say that?
Man, Ben, please just retire. Don't make me do this. And listen, Kev is a man's man, right? Kevin Colbert is a football dude. When he was in Detroit, he was a football dude. Ever since he's been in Pittsburgh, he's a football dude. He's not one of these guys that gets on TV and tries to give you quotes or wants to have things that become frontline material, that headline material. That's not Kevin Colbert. He's telling you the truth, that he does see some things that Ben could do well, but one, this has to work out for us as far as an organization, as money is concerned. But also, we have to figure out if this is the right thing for our current team moving forward.
And I don't necessarily believe it is. Listen, I was on the phone with Troy Polamalu when he was going through these things and when he was released and then when he subsequently retired and the resentment that he felt because of what he had given to the team and what he had sacrificed. And I know Ben feels the same way. And so when Ben comes out publicly and says, you know what, I'll play for this team for nothing. I don't care about the money. And now puts Kevin Colbert in this publicly difficult situation of a quarterback who won you two Super Bowls, who's been your quarterback for over a decade and a half, saying, you know what, I'll work for free. But Kevin Colbert having to look for it, look at it and say, you know what, even if it's for free, it might not be for me. It might not be for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It might be time to move on. And I think as we sit today, and it's hard to say because, listen, I love Ben. The reason I have a Super Bowl ring is because Big Ben Roethlisberger was big time in a huge moment. It's time to move on. It's time to start over. I don't believe they win a Super Bowl with him at quarterback. And when you got six rings and when your whole city and your whole organization is about winning championships, if you have a quarterback that can't take you there, it's time to move on and start trying to find a way to get there. And I think it's that time for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I mean, it's very difficult to argue with what you say. So Graziano, my insider, I was paying close attention to the words he used. As we sit here today, Ben is a Steeler.
Right.
He could still do some good things. Not he's going to do some good things. What do you think Colbert is saying there?
Look, I mean, if my wife said to me, as we sit here today, you are my husband, I would not be excited to book the plane tickets for the family vacation in April. I would have to be thinking maybe I'm doing something else at that point. And I think Ben Roethlisberger probably needs to be in that frame of mind. Look, there's no good financial outcome for the Steelers here, right? If he's on the team and they do nothing about the contract, the cap hit is $41.25 million. If he retires, it's still $22.25 million. If he retires or is cut, if he wants to play for the minimum and give back all but that, all but $1 million of the $19 million he's owed this year, they're still only saving about $17 or $18 million on a cap, and they're way over. And they have free agents: Juju Smith-Schuster, Bud Dupree, James Conner, Alejandro Villanueva, their left tackle. They have young players coming up for contract extensions, guys like T.J. Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick. This doesn't make financial sense. If you just looked at it coldly, right, and said, look, these are the books, and this is what it looks like in terms of how to build this year's team, you'd say, oh, you got to cut him. It's Ben Roethlisberger. It's the Steelers. You hear what Ryan Clark is saying, a former Steeler, about how he feels about Ben Roethlisberger. That's the only reason this is tough right now, is because of how long he's been there, what he's done, and what he's meant to them.
What do you think, Nico?
There was a point in the season where they were 11-0 and everyone was jumping on that bandwagon. And then they finished terribly. They lose three in a row, lose to the Browns. So then everyone, you remember exactly what you saw last when he was on the football field. You saw the interceptions. You saw the poor play. I saw a team that couldn't run the football, that really couldn't protect the quarterback. They weren't playing this. They weren't starting fast in these games. So it doesn't all – some of it does go on the quarterback, but all of it can't go on the quarterback. Some of these throws that were intercepted, they were tip passes. Guys weren't executing at a high level. And I think at a point in this season when they were 11-0, they kind of hit cruise control, and then other teams were gaining momentum, and they got beat. So for them to move forward and move on from Ben Roethlisberger, they're not going to be a better team without Roethlisberger at the quarterback position. It's just going to be impossible. So – the cap implications and all the different things that are going to happen with the cap, I don't think that they're going to be able to prevent that because they paid him to win a Super Bowl and he hasn't gotten there and they haven't done it. But they're not going to be a better team without Roethlisberger.
Super quick, Graziano, go ahead.
Yeah, that's the key. This isn't about blame or punishment, right? If they're moving on from Ben Roethlisberger, mm-hmm. it's not because they feel like he did something wrong. It's because, can we fix all those
right.
problems if he's still taking up this much of our cap? So that's the tricky situation that Kevin Colbert was articulating.
All right, we will talk much more about this as we go. It's not a situation that's going away, but we have to get to the game of the night last night. Possible preview of the NBA Finals. You got the Nets. You got the Lakers. Unfortunately, not all the stars were there. These guys were, but no Anthony Davis, no Kevin Durant. Both of those guys are injured. And it was Kyrie and Harden who had it going in the first half for Brooklyn. You will see them from inside. You will see them from outside. You will see them finding teammates as Harden will throw a nice little lob here to DeAndre Jordan. Harden and Kyrie scored or assisted on 55 Brooklyn points in the first half. Nets up 7 after 1, up 11 at the half. Third quarter, Lakers down 14. LeBron trying to carry his team. Where's the defense? Might want to stop that. LeBron, 32 points, 14 of 23 from the floor, but that was about as good as it was going to get for them. Here's James Harden, the Red Sea parts. He would score 23. Nets are up 17. Fourth quarter now, Nets are up by 20. Kyrie, he would score 16. The Nets improved to 10-1 this year in games against winning teams, and they take this one easily, 109-98. And I want to talk it over with Tim Legler, who joins us here. Thanks for getting up, Legs. And let's just start with the Nets side of this. They do this without Kevin Durant. I just mentioned they're 10-1 against teams with winning records. They've put it together. Are they clearly the team to beat in the Eastern Conference now?
Yeah, they've turned into that over the last couple of weeks. I think this West Coast trip really pointed it out to me, because when you look now at the way that they are playing offensively, because we saw great shot making, but that wasn't going to get it done out of these big three. You need inclusion amongst your roster. They're getting that now. You look at their numbers from this trip. They made 81 threes in their last four games, and they shot 49% from the three-point line in doing it. If they're going to now move the basketball, make the extra pass, do things more decisively, play off the dribble a little bit less, if they do those things and these role players are teeing up these open shots and now shooting them with confidence, there is just no way to slow this team down. So that's, to me, the biggest takeaway with what I've seen out of the Nets. This is a team now that is understanding flow to offense, and they're also caring a little bit more on the other end of the floor. They're flying to the ball a little bit better. The effort is better. They're not leaving guys out to dry on dribble penetration. And as a result, the activity is creating even more opportunities in the open floor. So for me, absolutely, over the last couple of weeks, they have risen to the cream of the crop in the Eastern Conference, because I think those other teams still have some flaws. Philly, Milwaukee, Indiana, Miami, whoever you throw into the mix, this team is on a different level than them when they're playing like this offensively.
Yeah, and I just actually did the math as you were talking. If you shoot 49% from three, you would have to shoot 73% from two in order for those numbers to match up. So what they're doing from an efficiency standpoint is ridiculous. On the other side, the Lakers get news last night that AD is reevaluated. He's out at least another 4 weeks. So how should they look at the rest of their season, Legs, if they still want to win the championship this year?
Yeah, look, I think they're very concerned because he had an injury. He sat out, he rested it, he came back, said he felt great, played 14 minutes, and now it's worse than it was before. So now they're saying, okay, listen, all that matters with this team is winning a championship, being healthy when the playoffs start, whether it's 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, however long you want to sit AD, doesn't matter to the Lakers. They're the deepest team in the NBA. They've got a ton of guys that can play that position specifically, so they've got plenty of help while he's out, making sure that when he comes back, he stays back. And if he does that, the Lakers don't really care if they finish first, second, third, fourth in the Western Conference. It's irrelevant to them, because if they're healthy, that's the best team in the West. I think that they know that. And that's why you go out and you get Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder. It's for situations like this, to be able to ride the storm if one of their star players has to take an extended rest or get load management, whatever it may be. I'm not too concerned about the Lakers. I still think, ultimately, if AD's healthy at the right time of the year, this team's going to be back in the finals.
Yeah, it's also a year where home court might matter less based upon the fans and everything else. Legs, thanks a million for getting up. Have a great weekend. We got good basketball to watch tonight. We got a doubleheader tonight on ESPN. It begins with Zach LaVine and the Bulls in Philly, taking on Joel Embiid and the East-leading Sixers. That's at 7:30. Then you cannot miss the Jazz, the biggest story in the sport. They're the hottest team, and they square off against Kawhi and the third-place Clippers tonight. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 on ESPN and the ESPN app. Coming up, Carson Wentz is headed to Indy. Does that make the Colts the team to beat in the AFC? RC's got power rankings next. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Lift every voice and sing.
Coming off a summer of protest over police brutality to African Americans, Naomi Osaka decided to use her platform to raise awareness. At every match she played at the 2020 U.S. Open, Osaka wore a face mask with the name of a victim of police brutality, such as Tamir Rice, George Floyd, and Elijah McClain. Osaka would go on to win her second U.S. Open championship.
And actually, you will see Naomi Osaka try to win the Australian Open early tomorrow morning, 3:30 a.m. Eastern Time, Saturday morning on ESPN and the ESPN app. It'll be Osaka against the 22nd seed Jennifer Brady, playing in her first ever final. Wake up early on Saturday and watch some really good tennis with us. Meanwhile, with that, we welcome you back to our newsroom. It is Greeny here with you. Get up, we're with you commercial free for the next 13 minutes, talking lots and lots of football. And then First Take takes over top of the hour here on ESPN. Talking hoops, even without Durant, what message to Kyrie and Harden? What did they send LeBron last night? Plus, did the Eagles lose the Carson Wentz trade? Stephen A. Max and Molly coming up top of the hour here on ESPN. Again, we're with you commercial free from now until then. And the top story continues. The Eagles agreeing to trade quarterback Carson Wentz to the Colts for a third-round pick this year and a conditional two next year that could turn into a one. And as a result of that move, the Colts now have the fifth shortest odds to win the AFC. They're 12-1, trailing Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, and Cleveland. They're 22-1 to win it all at Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill. But those are rankings that don't matter to us. The only rankings that matter on this program are Ryan Clark's power rankings. And so, RC, the floor is yours. Who are the five best teams in the AFC right now?
Bruh, they almost got it right, because at number five, it is the Indianapolis Colts. And I know Nico says he thinks the Tennessee Titans are still the best team in the South. Lies you tell. It's the Indianapolis Colts. Think about what they were able to do with Phillip Rivers. And I know everyone's going to point to what Carson Wentz looked like last year. You know who also stunk it up before last year? Phillip Rivers for the Chargers, and look where he had the Indianapolis Colts, right with an opportunity to beat the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo in the first round of the playoffs. All he has to do is get rid of some of those lows. You have a great defense, a great offensive line, and you have a running game. If Carson Wentz can find some of that late 2019 magic, this team will be a contender in the AFC. And at number four, I got the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens are now, at least to me, going to be one of the teams that we see fighting for playoff position and AFC contention every single year because of Lamar Jackson. We saw him get back to doing some Lamar Jackson-like things later on in the season, especially what he was able to do against the Tennessee Titans. I kind of had that love at first sight feeling like, this is the dude I have been looking for and waiting for. A defense that's extremely opportunistic. They're very physical up front. They still need to get a weapon on the outside. I understand, and they understand as well. They need that. I think they do that this year, and that helps this team. At number three, and I'm going to take a lot of flack for this, the Buffalo Bills. Why aren't the Buffalo Bills number two? Ooh, Josh Allen, he has arm arrogance. The defense was great under Leslie Frazier. Yes, I believe all those things. That's why I have them at three. But when we watch what happened against the Kansas City Chiefs twice last year, it showed that they were not in that class yet. Josh Allen will continue to ascend. I expect Stephon Diggs to have an encore season to what he did in his first year with the Buffalo Bills. And we saw what that relationship was like, and also a secondary and a defense that was improving late last season. The Buffalo Bills will be a team, as long as Josh Allen has a right arm, who we will have to see late in playoff seasons. And at number two, it's the Cleveland Browns. I think I took a lot of flack a couple of weeks ago because I had the Cleveland Browns in my top five. Yes, and they are number two. What I watched down the stretch of last season was a team that understood themselves. A Kevin Stefanski-led team that knew who they were. Baker Mayfield understood what his job was on the team. a running game that was physical and will bludgeon you. And when you have a team that became opportunistic on defense with guys like Denzel Ward, with guys like Myles Garrett, you can win football games. Knowing who you are is half the battle. That's what G.I. Joe said. Knowing is half the battle. The Cleveland Browns now know. The Cleveland Browns now have their coach, and they also have their quarterback. And at number one, you know I'm going with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not even sure why we had to get to number one. And everybody's going to look at the Super Bowl and say, well, if you can rush Patrick Mahomes and you can make it tough on him. Yeah, if you can rush and make it tough on him, you know what you'll see? Two or three of the greatest incompletions in Super Bowl taking history. Patrick Mahomes is a monster. And you know what I like about this, Greeny? It's not going to be the run it back talk. It's not going to be let's go get seven and beat Michael Jordan for getting Tyreek. That Tom Brady already had six, and now he has seven. You know what it's going to be? We got to get a little better. You know what it's going to be? Patrick, I got to learn to get the ball out of my hands, read these defenses a little quicker. Andy, I got to get back in the lab. Eric Bieniemy, I got to get back in the lab. Defense, we got to get better. And we need an upset Chiefs team. This team is upset. This team is ready to roll. And they will be the best team in the AFC once again in 2021.
And so there you see. And that's Ryan Clark's rankings. Colts, Ravens, Bills, Browns, Chiefs. Before I let you guys have at it, RC, I phrased it today, like who are the best teams today? Because there's one big factor that could change all of this. Yes, if Deshaun Watson winds up getting traded to an AFC team, that could change everything here. Yes, if Deshaun Watson winds up on Miami, are the Dolphins crashing this party?
Ooh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Look at what the Dolphins were last year. They were one game away from getting into the playoffs. They were one game away from making noise. And obviously, we all could see that Tua Tagovailoa wasn't ready. If Deshaun Watson goes to Miami, to me, that catapults that team in the conversation of one and two in the AFC, nowhere lower than that.
Okay, fair enough. And obviously, if he winds up on the Jets, they will definitely go unbeaten and win the Super Bowl. So now let me come to the reaction here. The list as of right this minute, Rob Ninkovich, what jumped out to you?
Number five, that's it. Number five. Everything else I like. RC, I like the list. I just think number five, you got to take the Colts.
Number
five? You
got to
go back maybe
Who's
two.
Who's there?
And I'd put number five. I would put Tennessee there. I'd put Tennessee at number five. I think that they're going to be a better team, better equipped for 2021. There's so many question marks with the Colts and the new quarterback, right? He's got to have to go out there and answer a lot of questions. It's hard for me to put them in the top five with losing a quarterback and gaining a quarterback that just had statistically the worst season of his career.
And Graziano, the other day on this program, you picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl. So I wonder if you have any questions about that.
Well, just real quick on Ninko, obviously he's going to go with Vrabel's team over the Colts. I mean, obviously those Patriot defenders are all, you know, one big club. And we understand why that is. And it's not a bad – they had the same record last year. So it's a flip of a coin. And look, as for the list, it's been made clear to me many times that my opinion does not matter because it's Ryan Clark's power rankings, and his is the only opinion that matters. So it's really not for me, Greeny, to speculate on why Ryan Clark doesn't like the Buffalo Bills and what he has against them. And it's not for me to point out that, lost to the Chiefs in a game when Patrick Mahomes actually played the whole game, whereas the Browns couldn't beat Chad Henne. It's not for me to mention those things because it's Ryan Clark's list, and we have to respect that.
Hey, Greeny, you know what? After me and Dan shared a great moment this week, we sent some text messages to each other. I thought that this relationship was cultivated on Culture Wednesday. Clearly on Friday, Dan Graziano is a totally
Friday,
different
man. All bets are off.
It's a very different Graziano on Football Fridays. All right, in the meantime, let me get back to the primary point here. It is what Carson Wentz will be with the Indianapolis Colts. Earlier this morning, we had Dan Orlovsky live from his vacation, and he offered these thoughts.
Carson Wentz will play MVP type of football again in Indianapolis. You know, I look at the Colts as definitely a Super Bowl contender next year. I don't think they have to win it next year. He's under contract for the next 4 years, but they're one of the top four teams in the AFC with Kansas City, Buffalo, and Cleveland now. Now that he's in Indy with Press Taylor and with Frank Reich, the Colts are going to be a big problem next year, and Carson Wentz, mark my words, will play really good football.
And so, right now, Carson Wentz, MVP, those are the words he used. We'll go back to the odds here. Caesars by William Hill puts him at 40-1, so he's tied for like the 14th most likely player. But for those just joining us, RC, I thought you made a really interesting point on this morning. that Carson Wentz should not be thinking about being the MVP, that what the Colts need is for him to be the opposite of that. Why?
Because that's what got Carson Wentz into trouble this year, trying to be the MVP, trying to bring back some of that 2017 magic, working to get his own statue in Philadelphia while Nick Foles already had one. That's not what you need. That's not what the Colts have been looking for since Andrew Luck retired. That's why they had Jacoby Brissett. That's why they went out and got Phillip Rivers. And now getting Carson Wentz, what he needs to do is say, you know what? I don't have to play hero ball because of all of these things around me. But when they need me, when I have to be special, when I have to show them some of that number two overall pick talent, some of those things that you just can't coach, that's when I have to show up. That's how this team gets to a Super Bowl. That's how we contend with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, Baker Mayfield, and the Cleveland Browns. I don't have to do too much here. This is not about becoming an MVP. This is about becoming a champion. And that's why the Indianapolis Colts made this deal to get Carson Wentz.
And so that's where he goes, the team he leaves behind. Meanwhile, Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts, second round pick last year, played pretty well those last four games. Now we're going to do what all reporters hate to do, Graziano. I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's their, you're going to guess, who's their starting quarterback going to be week one next year? Will it be Hurts or will it be someone else?
I think it'll be Hurts, but that does not mean that the Eagles will not look at or take a quarterback with their first round pick. They're picking sixth right now. If the Philadelphia Eagles have a quarterback available to them in the first round that they believe is a potential franchise quarterback, I believe the Eagles will take that player, and yes, it'll create a quarterback controversy, and maybe Hurts beats him out in camp and the rookie has to sit for a while, but I think that's how the Eagles view the quarterback position. It's a hard bet to make. I'm not one of these folks that likes to go bet these things, but if someone came to me for advice, if Ryan Clark came to me and said, look, I just got this huge new contract from ESPN, I want to bet some of it on who the Eagles week one starter will be, I would say the best bet right now is Hurts, but I wouldn't necessarily put the whole thing down.
The thing is, does that make a controversy, though? Like, if they see a guy as a future franchise quarterback and they draft him at six, I believe there's no controversy. I believe that dude becomes the day one starter because this can't be a Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers type of situation. I think that's it. If they get a guy at six, he's the starter day one to me.
And then finally, there was nothing we did today that was as much fun as Rob Ninkovich, a Chicago kid, analyzing the possibilities of Deshaun Watson winding up on the Chicago Bears. Ninko, should that happen? Should Watson be the quarterback of your hometown team, the Chicago Bears? What should we expect to happen?
Well, I'm telling you this, Greening, I think if they do that, we'll be Super Bowl champs. The Bears, if they can get this done and they can get that trade going, I'm telling you, the Skis, the Borowskis, the Trubiskis, any Ski in Chicago, they'll be supporting going for Watson because guess what? He is a Super Bowl contender no matter what. And the Chicago Bears, if they can do that, if they can get to another Super Bowl, it's been 1985 was the last time we were celebrating, smoking cigars with Ditka. Walter Payton, the man, the best running back in the history of the game. If we can get back to the Super Bowl, I'm telling you, if we could do it once, we could do it twice, we could do it three times, we could do it four or five times in a row, maybe 10 years. You sign him to a 10-year extension, 10-time Super Bowl champ, the Chicago Bears. The Bears.
That's extraordinarily well done. That's very well done. Rob Ninkovich, the pride. Do I have it right? Joliet, Illinois?
Joliet, yeah, Joliet. Don't get it wrong, okay?
You and Joliet, Jake, the legends, that's very well done. Guys, thank you all for getting up with us here on this Football Friday. The big news just keeps coming. The NFL hot stove season is as good as it gets. Most importantly, thank you for getting up with us. Enjoy the sports this weekend. I'll be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. First Take starts now.